Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by Physiogrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now.
All right, Owen. So I wanted to talk a little bit differently today on this podcast that I think is actually very interesting. I guess one could say it's a hiring and firing podcast, right? But I think more so, I think we've had that podcast before, right? When to hire, when to fire. And we can turn that in. I don't know if it spirals in that conversation or not. Let's see where this goes. But one of the things that I've recently, I'm going to take total ownership, slacked on, that I want to fix is tracking certain numbers on a monthly basis so that I can see different trends that are going on in the different parts of my business, and making sure that what, not just what's being done is being done, but what's being done is effective. And so I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about that today, and just about how to, 'cause I'm sure I'm not the only person that's ever had this problem. And for those people that don't know things like what percent capacity means, visit per day, visit per FTE, you know, that kind of thing, this is the type of thing you're talking about. That's from the, we'll keep it physical therapy. We could talk about fitness all day long, which is what made me think more about this specifically. Because I think when it comes to, you know, the physical therapy side, there's a lot of things you should be tracking on a regular basis. And I think it would really help, you know, your day-to-day conversations in the clinic, particularly if you have employees. So
yeah,
that's what I want to talk about.
Cool. Yeah. It's really important as you're evaluating, you should always be self-evaluating. They call it self-scouting in football, where you're looking at your own team and you're saying, okay, where can we get better? What did we do last week in football, but last month, last year? What are some of the things that would drive performance? And then you as the manager, I mean, that's really where you earn your money, is being able to zoom out, get this top level view, and then be able to say, okay, I think we should do this. And then you try it and you measure it. And then if it was great, good. You double down, triple down. But the measuring is the part, right? Because then what happens if it's negative, right? And you say, you know, I think we're doing better with this. Actually, we're kind of not. And I'm losing a lot of money here.
Yes.
And this business is what supports not only my family as the leader, but all of the families of my employees. Like, say you got 10 employees and one employee is really the reason why you're tanking. Well, then you got to fix that too, right? And you want to fix that as soon as possible.
Yep. So let's talk tactical. So for me, you know, one of the things that I think is a really good thing to look at on a regular basis is, and some of these are easy, right, is visits, total visits per month, right? Mm-hmm. The new patients, how many new IEs you did, right? And then if we're looking at as a whole, if you're a multi-clinic guy or just one clinic, basically patient capacity, which is what you're going to look at for FTEs, which are full-time employees, how much you can theoretically see in comparison to patient percent capacity. Now, for those of you out there listening, percent capacity is also pretty synonymous with productivity, right? When people say, the productivity. So when people say, oh, do you have a productivity, blah, blah, productivity number? And people say, oh yeah, 80%, 90%, 100%, percent capacity would also be something that's synonymous with that. Now, the reason to kind of bring it back, why most clinics or most places talk about productivity around 80%, that's because that's where you start making some money, right? Mm-hmm. Once you start dipping below that, you start getting into a little bit more of a dicey situation. So anyway, I think those are some key ones for me to look at. And again, how frequently you're looking at that month over month. I think it's super, super important. Yeah. Right.
Well, I think I look at that and I say, I don't know if you have enough like percentages there. Right. Nah. So percent capacity is good. Right. But like looking at it, maybe not like visits per month, but like visits per week. Right. Cause you got different business days. You have some that are 23 months.
Yeah.
You know, we used to always say you basically pay for everything and something, I think it was something like 18 or 19 business days. And then anything you make after that is profit that lets you grow. So, we would love every month to be March, right?
Yep.
No days off and 31 days in the month. But sometimes you got some Decembers and Februarys in there.
And it's something, and the reason this comes up that I think is significant is I live in the Northeast, so two things we just got was we just got hit with two fucking giant blizzards, which killed two of those days, right? And people are like, "Oh, the impact, blah blah." It's like sometimes like, ah, it's not gonna matter. Sometimes it does. Well, let me rattle these off because I think it also makes sense when Owen talks about it. This is why I say monthly. January 21 days, February 20 days, March 22 days, April 22 days, May 20 days, June 22 days, July 22 days, August 21, September 21, October 22, November 20, and then December 22. By the way, if you want to steal those, by all means, go ahead. So I saved you doing the math and mathing. But that's the idea of what Owen's talking about. So I also think it's good to break it down quarter by quarter because it does offset a lot of those. If you look at it, right, like January, February, March, 21, 20, 22, you're at 21 average, right? If you look at April, May, and June, 22, 20, 22, you're probably at 21 and three quarters, right? The summer and the fall, July, August, September, same thing. 22, 21, 21, you're at the same thing. So 22, 20, 22. So what Owen's talking about is if you're looking at it month to month, but if you can look at it quarter to quarter, also should be kind of a normalized thing as well.
Well, so how do you break that down? I guess the question really becomes, okay, that sounds great for the health of the clinic, right? And year over year, month, we did January, which has all the same constraints as last January, right? If there's not a pandemic, right? But that's good to say, okay, this clinic grew, right? Or this particular clinic. But then if you have a clinician who took PTO one January versus not, that's going to change that. So then I look at those as more of clinic health things and maybe not a decision making on an employee thing, right? Where I want to see for them, I want to say, okay, how many visits per FTE per day is more like per the clinic, right? But you can normalize that out to for your part-time staff. So we would always do visits per FTE per day, and we would just say, okay, if you're a part-timer and you saw 30 visits this week, right? Well, that would be like a full-timer seeing 60. Right, if it was 20 versus 40, right? So your rate per day per FTE, that way we can normalize it. So we could say, okay, the lady coming in and doing 20 hours is actually working harder than the person doing 40 hours, right? Or is actually retaining, I shouldn't say working harder, but retaining patients better, their treatment's more effective, they're having people request them, things like that. So from like a decision-making standpoint, I would tend to go to those rate stats. Because it normalizes for things like PTO, it normalizes for maternity leave, it normalizes for all that other stuff.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think the bigger thing when I look at stuff is I also think what's nice is comparing stuff year over year, year to year. So one of the reasons this came up as well is I think, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the percent, to your point about the percent capacity, and that's a percentage. So if something's like 83%, 81%, 89%, a lot of what I think is also important is looking at the total visits in comparison to that. So the way that you can look at that is also by FTEs and what those capacities would be for those FTEs, right? So if I got somebody who's working for 40 hours and they're seeing patients every 40 minutes, their capacity is 60 patients per week, right? Which means per month, and again, that to Owen's point about those calendar days and the 21, 21 days, 22 days, that's why it matters for that month to month, right? As far as looking at the Q1, Q2 numbers, what's always good is to look at, okay, because I can look at percentages and say, wow, look at our percentage. It was really, really good. So I can look at those numbers. But if the percentage is really, really good, but your numbers are down, all right, well, that means your clinic's not growing. It means actually maybe your clinic's understaffed, right, in a capacity. Now, say that you then hire somebody, right? Or by the way, someone goes out on maternity leave, because that's actually something that popped up. Someone was on maternity leave and we didn't recognize how big of an impact that had until afterwards. Again, sometimes you can't hire people. Sometimes you try to hire people, you can't hire them, right? Because I think if that percent capacity is up still, like your fixed costs on your rent, if you reach a certain point, is still okay. But you also are looking at, okay, now that we make these hires, are our numbers going up? Like, are we seeing the same impact? Like, are we having enough patients come to the door, et cetera? And when that doesn't match, that's a problem. Right. And so I think that's a big piece to look at. So that's why I say that is how to evaluate it. Like the patient goal of new patients, obviously, if you have goals and you see new patients coming through the door, and that's going up over time, fantastic. Well, what should also happen is that your visits should also go up. And then if that keeps going up over time, you can continuously hire and keep growing. And again, a lot of times we get stuck because there's a hiring shortage. We can't get enough people. We can't get the right people. They can't retain clients. This is the spiraling effect that can occur, right?
Well, so what I think you did really well there is you basically took a numbers problem and you made it, you translated that almost like you're putting it through a translator program and saying, what that means is this person can't keep their patients, right? Or what that means is our marketing is lower than it should be. Or what that means is I need to get more space because we don't have enough spit capacity here to hire my next PT that I think I need. And that's where I think good managers, bad managers just sit there, they post the numbers on the pegboard and say, you guys figure it out, right? A good manager will be having these type of discussions in their own head. And then instead of coming to a PT and say, well, your visits per FTE are down X percent and blah, blah, blah. And the PT's like, dude, like I'm just trying to treat patients. What a good manager will say is like, hey, I'm noticing that you're having a hard time when a patient comes through the door. They usually kind of leave after three or four visits. Is there something that you're not progressing them well enough or that you're not making sure that they're hitting their goals or asking their goals? And that conversation looks like, I'm a mentor. I want to help you, right? Whereas if you come and say, your length of stay or whatever it is, visits per referral, was six and now it's five. What's wrong with you? That's a money hungry manager. So being able to digest these things and then being able to give them to somebody who doesn't give a crap about your ratios
No,
is a big part of
I
that.
agree. And listen, I want to shout out my guy Mike Genta, who's the CEO of our company, who's obviously went to college with us and his partner, and he's so like good on these details too, because I can hear him as you're talking about this stuff. And one of the things that he would say is like exactly that mentorship is awesome. And I think to clarify what I just said, like going from six to five or five to six, what's going on? What we're talking about is the national average is around 11 or 12, right? Visits per day. If someone's dropping around six and everybody else in the clinic's around 11 to 13, 14, 15, and beyond, guess what? That's it. It's gonna stick out like a sore thumb. It's kind of
You
like a
mean they're
lateral
not the
shift.
best PT in the world?
Exactly. And that's my point
No, it
too.
means they're not functionally loading them and the guy's going to come back in 3 weeks.
Exactly. And that's the idea, right? So to me, I think there's a lot of that stuff around and a lot of what goes on. So exactly. So I think this is a cool kind of conversation because it came up in our clinics. By the way, I also think it's even more important the bigger you get. That this is where companies can get smoked. If you're a solo practice like Owen doesn't need to get in the weeds with this super, super detail, right? Because he knows exactly how many patients he saw. He knows exactly what revenue. And by the way, all this conversation that I'm talking about, our revenue increased. So it's one of those things where it's like, well, hold on, our revenue increased, but this didn't match. It's like, well, what changed? What happened? Right? And so it's also very important to remember, it's not about just managing off of top line revenue, right? It's also about managing on these expectations as well, and how to work and have those specific conversations, right? Are you following up with those patients that fell off your schedule? Are you, how are you speaking to the patients? Like, you come from that mentor position. And by the way, are we doing enough on boots on the ground stuff? Are we going to the community? Are we trying to, do any type of other social media marketing, or what's going on, right? And I think those are really good things to make you're bringing up for sure.
Well, and numbers should inform your decision, right? They shouldn't be your decision. And having, especially at your level, right? Where I don't know exactly your organizational chart, but I understand that you're not the manager of every six of your clinics, right? So at that level where you have managers you're coaching, right? Or maybe, you're coaching a regional director to coach managers, that you can have more frank conversations with your manager about money than you can with your staff PT. But even then, the manager's still treating 40 hours a week, right? So you want to be careful about if you're talking to another business owner, they're going to know exactly what ratios need to happen, what trends you should see, because for 2 year, 5 year, and 10 year growth, we should see this healthy number at blah, 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 right? That will piss off anybody treating patients, right? And having that, being able to have that skill of taking those numbers and then making it a real conversation, I think is something that is honestly part of the reason why PTs are like, the mill sucks, and like, this place is too busy, and like, blah, blah, blah. And then you ask them, and it's like, how many people do you see a day? And they're like, well, 11, and I'm not one on one, so it's awful. And then you'll have the next interview come through the door, and they're like, yeah, it wasn't bad. I saw like 17 or 18, right, in a day. I think that now the negative side of that, having that conversation with somebody who's not doing the right job, that's where I think the money thing is not where you need it, or not the money, the numbers is where you can have a problem. If somebody's not doing great and they're the likelihood of them getting a lot better from one conversation of you telling them their rate per visit, probably not going to happen, right? What you want to do is you want to come in and say, hey, what am I doing with this? Why are you not keeping your patients longer? But say it like, are you just not feeling that you can, load them, right? Coming in from a clinical standpoint. I mean, then the problem is if they're kind of completely, I'm just here for the money, I don't care what you say, then that's when you do performance improvement plans, and then you start saying, we've already given you these four warnings, so you don't get sued when you want to fire them. But it's the numbers that drive everything.
The monologue that Owen just had, in my opinion, could not be more true. I think that what Owen, I want to steal one thing out of there. What he's talking about, it was well, like, well done. Like maybe the best you've ever done on this podcast, to be honest.
Ooh, it's
Well,
only been a
it
year and
was,
a half.
I know. I want to say one thing. The way that Owen just talked about it, I'm just going to sum it up. The way that I heard a lot of it, but one of the things I want to just highlight. I think it's these kind of things when you look at numbers, and this is just how the business of healthcare runs, right? When you do this, this is where people say, because they don't want to take accountability for not being a good physical therapist, they say, well, those mills, they pushed me. I think that is such a thing that exists in our profession that no one wants to talk about. People don't want to be confronted by, oh, you mean you can see through the numbers that I'm not doing a good enough job and that I'm not doing my job well? You suck, not me,
Yeah.
right? Like that's that mirror that's
100%.
stuck in front of my face that all of a sudden then people don't
I
like,
am a
right?
new grad and I deserve this much money because I'm amazing and my professors told me I'm amazing. And I'm like, I mean, not, no. There is such thing as crappy practitioners,
For
and there is
sure.
such thing as people who don't get better and can't self-reflect. And I don't want to say there's more or less because that would be a massive generalization, but it's kind of like one of those things. What do they say in Wall Street? Everyone's a genius in a bull market. Well, everyone's a great PT in a bad employment market, right? Oh, well, I'm amazing. Well, you're not amazing, but I desperately need somebody to make sure I can keep the lights on. So, yeah, you're amazing. You're great. Yeah, let's pay you whatever you got. And then you get these people being like, well, huh, how dare you tell me to see one more patient? It's like,
100%.
I don't know. I can't fire you for that. But at the same time, like, come on, dude. Like, my business is going to die here. Well, I don't care. I'm just going to go to the next guy who's going to pay me,
Exactly. And that's the reality situation of what also creates a poor, again, I think, and we just talked about the physician don't thing, but I really also feel like this would also help because more physical therapists would be driven to private independent practices and hospitals and other places that have better environments, along with being independent with cash-based stuff too. To me, I think this is a lot of the conversation. I just really like how the way you said what you said, because I think this is something where when you confront people, like, look, I'm looking at these things, and this to me is weird. Can we go over your cases? Like, can we just go through and talk about the way you're speaking to people, blah, blah, blah. To me, that matters so much. And when you can track it through numbers, to your point about performance reviews, you want to have them because it's like, hey, this is something we've talked about, and it's not getting better, and we need to fix it, right? And then there becomes the question of, for me, I think about extreme ownership, where when you're coaching somebody up and you need them to be better, you got to think about, okay, how would we be without this person? So we won't necessarily replace them with somebody who's going to be better, right? So are they so bad that not having them would be better, right? And one of the cases that I would say I can point to in physical therapy where that happens, we had a therapist who was discharging patients at a huge clip. And same thing, it wasn't that she was extraordinarily better. It was probably the way she was speaking to patients, et cetera, the reviews she was getting. Got unlucky on some, but just wasn't doing anything in the community, wasn't doing a lot of stuff. And what happens in that situation? So say Owen, right, is doing an evaluation and he treats somebody and does an evaluation and then he follows up with them 12 times and that's his norm. So say he does 10 evaluations. So now he's done 120 visits. Well, for those 120 visits, he did 12 evaluations, correct? Now here's the kicker. For me, right? If I do 12 evaluations and I only get six, I've done only 60, right? I've done half. So what ends up happening is to get to 120 for Owen, I got to do double the evaluations. Well, guess what? That means I got to do 24 to get to Owen's 120. But I'm discharging people at that clip. So what's happening is not only is Owen doing a better job of retaining, I'm discharging them at twice the clip, and you're going to feed me all the new patients. So Owen is having trouble staying busy because when he goes to discharge those people, instead of it being Owen did 12 and I did 12, or he did 10 and I did 10, ultimately what ends up happening is I get more people than him on the initial evaluation. I'm discharging him faster, and that's a disaster situation if you got two, three, four, five practitioners in one clinic and one person discharges them twice as fast as everybody else. That to me is a big one because I think that's one where we look to really tactically in the try and nip that in the butt on a regular basis. So there's another one to look at is patients per, basically visits per PT. And again, I'm sure we're gonna get some bullshit on this where people say, well, not the way I practice and spoken like a true, insurance-based PT. Listen, on a cash-based system, I know plenty of cash-based physical therapists that see people 100+ times because they get into fitness. And if any of you got cash physical therapists are sitting here thinking, I want to get PT, I want to get patients in the door, I want to treat them for 4 to 5 visits, 6 visits, get them out and be done with it. I got news for you. It's a tricky business. It's a tricky business. And
It's tough.
that's why you see physical therapists that have fitness services, massage services, other shit that they're doing. Laser. Now the big one's the shockwave stuff, right? Like all this stuff that's coming out. Why do you think that exists? For ongoing treatment, for ongoing services. Because guess what? A bad business model is getting rid of your fucking patients. That's what it comes down to. Now,
Well, and
the way I
that's the issue, right?
Yes.
Like, the best thing for the patient is to do the least intervention and they get 100% of the benefit. But the worst thing for a business, like if we were selling Sprockets, is to have a customer and then lose them quickly, right?
Yes,
We're like an
exactly.
education business on a lot of levels where you teach them and then they get out, right? So the biggest problem we have is we gotta get more people,
Yes.
you know?
Let me make sure that I rephrase that and because I'm sure we're gonna get backlash on what I just said too. The reality of that is what I mean by it is if you get a patient, the idea is that you want to progress them, right? Like Owen just talked about. If I see them in 6 visits and get them better and they're gone, but then they get hurt again, that means you didn't finish their plan of care. They're not gonna want to come back to you. They're gonna feel double bit if you're a cash PT, right? At least for insurance, you're like creating an advantage for them. My point being is, imagine a restaurant that basically served an amazing meal, the people loved it, and then you said never come back again, right? Like that's not how that works. You want to progress them into better services and take them and the if you think about the traditional sense of healing, it's about 11 visits, 12 visits, right? It should take 6 weeks for physiological changes to actually occur. So I think that to me is a big part of it is like how do you, for me, we have fitness services we put people into. We've got other services we put people into. So for us, it's like and they don't have to do them, right? But it's a natural progression of how we see our clients and help our clients. So I think
And
that's the
that's
thing.
another thing. That's the thing that the numbers come back to, right?
Yes.
Everything we just talked about, we basically went, we did numbers, but then this qualitative thing about PT, numbers, qualitative thing, numbers, qualitative thing. We have to keep the lights on, right? You have to create a business that people want to come to and that they want to work for. So every physical therapist knows that there's some level of financial responsibility you have to do to keep a business going. I think the messaging is the key. And I think that what you just said of
I agree.
like, you know, if you do six, are you doing, is everybody a super compliant patient who does once a week and gets that physiological changes and doesn't need a reminder twice a week? There's definitely
Yeah.
some, but not the majority of them, right?
Yeah.
And then that's where you can kind of start attacking these false beliefs, because I've had that before where patients will be like, well, yeah, I mean, I don't need to do that much. And then 6 months later, they may come back to your clinic, but they probably won't, right? And then you can say, okay, there's that one who does six, the other does 12. What's the difference? right? And I'm assuming they respect their coworkers. Maybe they don't, but most of the time you respect your coworkers, and you can take that numbers decision and say, okay, look, Jim, you think he's a great PT. He sees people for 12 visits, right? You're not at six, you're probably not double as good as he is, right? So then you can have those kind of questions. But yeah, it's fascinating to see how just numbers get latched onto, and they're like, oh my God, we can't talk. We're talking about talking, talking, talking. But that's like, well, yeah, man. I mean, you need money. You want
There's
to get paid.
one other thing that I think is a bit of a dirty secret, and I'm curious to see. I hope I can do this in a way that isn't overly offensive, slash like I'm
You're
just
gonna get
curious how it
like
goes.
jumped on the streets of Stanford after this
I think so. Probably not Stanford.
podcast.
So one other thing that I think about all the time, because I think a lot of college students come out being like, "Oh, what's their productivity numbers?" and blah blah and all this stuff. A lot of times I think those, like, if you think about those physical therapists that don't like getting called out about productivity, about what are they doing in the clinic to grow the clinic, et cetera, all the things they're looking to do, where do you think they end up? A lot of them end up in academia. Right. And so the reality of it is, what I'm also recognizing is the physical therapists that are teaching these students are also a lot of these type of people, right? They're not valuing you. They're making you work harder than you should. You're doing X, Y, and Z thing. All they care about is the money, et cetera. And the reality is, if people just focused a lot more on giving great quality of care and helping build businesses, every physical therapist would be making more money. Right, because the insurance companies would be reimbursing us more because we'd have more leverage in terms of more patients that we're seeing. And so I just think that this is a very interesting topic that kind of can spiral into so many different things. But bringing it back to what we're doing is, I think if you want to be, productive in terms of his physical therapist, you want to track certain numbers. You want to be looking at those things. And so hopefully this was helpful, in terms of what I would look at and how I would look at it. For sure, especially as you're hiring and scaling your business, because that's going to be essential. If you're a solo practitioner, you probably can get away without it. If you're seeing other patients and you're seeing other people and you want to know what the hell is going on with my business, this stuff's essential for sure.
It's the hardest pivot is to go
For
from the
sure.
one who understands all the numbers and can talk numbers and all that to a politician who has to be able to say, let's talk Susie, let's talk Jimmy, let's figure out how we can get you feeling better about your work,
For sure.
right? It's called the founder's paradox for a reason. Founders are militant driven people, and then they have to organize, they have to manage a giant organization full of different feelings and different initiatives and prerogatives, and then all of a sudden it becomes, well, why won't these people listen to me? It's like, well, because you're running them like you would run yourself. So yeah, dude, great topic. I love it.
Love it. Totally agree. Cool. All right, guys. And if you want to help with this type of shit and actually setting up spreadsheets and doing this and getting numbers and doing it properly, join our physio growth group, physio-growth.com. We help people do this shit.
Yeah, if you want a weekly sounding board to yell all your problems into the ether, we are the
I love it. I love it. All
ether.
right,
All
man. We're
right.
out.
See you.
Later.